The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming out today. We know it's not fun coming to school on a Friday, but this is the easiest time considering all your elective schedules and all the Founders Day events. The school is pretty jam-packed during spring semester, so we thought this would be a good opportunity to have a more casual panel and lunch just about different things that you can do during spring semester and for the fall. So the brighter yellow page is kind of an outline of the things that we're going to be talking about today, since we don't have tables and you can't really take notes as well. So that's just for you to follow along and remember all the information that we're going to be covering today, since there's a fair amount. And then the more beige paper is the calendar of the spring events for first year students, and on the back is information about us, about what activities we've done and what summer jobs that we've done also. So if you have specific questions about, you know, a certain activity, or you know, you're looking into a certain job opportunity and you want to talk more to a specific Dean's Fellow, we're always happy to meet in our office hours or through emailing questions. Don't feel like you just have to go to the Dean's Fellow side to your section. We're all available to talk about these things or to point you to other people who might know more about them. Feel free just to raise your hand with questions, since we're covering a lot of different types of things. So if you have a question, just raise your hand and we'll try to get to it. Okay, so I'll start off with just basically with the timeline. This is something for you to post up on your wall. We know there's a fair amount of dates in there, but we just want to gather them all together and lay them out, just so you're prepared about what's coming. These are dates that we got from different websites and through contacting different programs. So if they might change, that's basically what we're going to say. So, you know, it's always really important to read the docket to make sure that all these dates are correct, but this will give you a general idea of when is what.
Do you mind giving them?
So you'll see these are the major things: moot court tryouts, mock trials, journal tryouts. And the important thing of why we gave you these dates is because you're going to want to research and try to think about what activities you want to join before the actual, you know, sign up dates and stuff like that. It's really important to do your research and figure out what activities are best for you, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, so that when these tryouts come, you know what you want to do and you're not just deciding the day before. Because a lot of these tryouts do require more work. So it's just something that you're going to have to schedule in. For example, like if you realize that you don't want to do a journal, then that's a good thing to figure out before you make your spring break plans. Because if you are going to be trying out for a journal, you know, you might have to schedule your travel plans according to that, because the process for getting onto a journal is over the spring break period. So that's why we want to, you know, start giving you these dates now. We know a lot of people make travel plans or, you know, vacation plans really early. So by giving you a map of all the things, you know, it'll start jogging your mind. And we know you're all really already busy with the job stuff, but hopefully this will give you a better sense of how everything is spread out. You'll also notice that a lot of things are clustered in January and February. So that's just going to be a busier time, but you can set aside certain weekends, whatever works best. And then the two last things to consider with the timeline are that you might want to start outlining early. I know you probably don't even want to hear about outlining your finals ever again, but it is your second semester and you kind of have a better feel of, you know, what is being tested, how materials all come together. It might be, you know, useful to start outlining little sections, you know, constitutional law is broken up to very insular sections that you could be able to do in chunks, that you don't have to wait till the end of the semester, property, you know, there's concepts that go together. So if the more that you can do earlier on, the less stressful will be towards the end of the semester, because spring break and finals, you know, do roll up pretty quickly. And then lastly, of course, in addition to these dates, your legal rhetoric calendar will be very important. So if you haven't already figured out your calendar system about like how you enter dates into a Google calendar or physical calendar, now's an especially important time to do so, because you just don't want to miss opportunities in law school because you didn't check the docket or weren't sure of the dates for things. Is there any questions about the calendar generally? It's pretty basic. So the next thing that we're going to be going over generally are what are your different options for the summertime jobs. We want to present the benefits and drawbacks of your different opportunities based on our experiences so that you know your full range of options. So I guess we're going to first start with paying jobs. So Lindsay will talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Last summer, I worked for the National Senior Citizens Law Center and was able to get a grant through that organization for in terms of a paying job. So that's one type of nonprofit route you can go. There's a lot of nonprofits that actually either have a grant tied to them, or if they don't, there's always the EJF funding or various other ways you can get funding for summer stuff. So that's a sort of paid type internship. For those of you who don't have that option or aren't going to take the EJF route or something like that, externships and things like that will be another option for you, but I'll talk about that in a minute. You can also do firms. There are big and small firms that will take people and pay you. I don't know in the current economic climate how likely that is. I know 1Ls have a lot harder time anyway because the programs are geared towards 2Ls, but it's definitely a possibility. I have some friends who did it last summer. You just kind of have to make your own way and find places that would want a 1L or want to kind of cultivate that relationship with you early on. You're definitely prepared to do most of the work, and you shouldn't be intimidated if that's something that you're interested in doing or figuring out if that's some way you would like to go even for your second summer. But just make sure that you realize you're not going to get as much support from OCPD and stuff like that, because that's definitely geared towards the 2Ls, but it's definitely an option. You're more likely to get paid by a big firm than a small firm, but again, it's still good experience, and you can still turn it into an externship if you'd like for school funding and everything like that. Other options would be government. The government has really good programs. Most of those are going to be unpaid, but a lot of my friends did that last summer as well. And I know when I worked for DOJ, they had a great program for students to come in. You work for free, but you get to do a lot of different types of things. And at least in my office, they let you go to court. They let you go to the Library of Congress, all these other crazy places. And you got a lot of widespread experience from government work, especially in legal fields. With respect to nonprofits, again, there's a lot of stuff out there, and they probably really need help this summer, so keep that open if that's something you're interested in. PS LawNet actually has a really good website, and they've been improving it, and that's where I found my job last summer, and we have all kinds of other areas through OCPD that you can look into for stuff like that. So those are your first couple options. Do you want me to just talk about Jamie's externships?
I'll add a quick thing about the small firm route, which is something that is not really, advocated or pushed by the school, because they don't have, institutional support necessarily for, there isn't like a specific counselor to do small firm counseling, but it is a great option, I think, whether after your first summer or after your second summer or even during the school year. I worked at a small firm after my second year, and, it isn't the same formal process of applying to big firms. It's small firms, it's a lot about networking. I got my small firm job from my boyfriend's dad's fantasy football team member, but it ended up being a great experience because they gave me like a lot of hands-on work. You're basically treated as, a lawyer there. And so that's an option that, a lot of people don't know about, is looking for those jobs. And a lot of times small firms are less affected by the economy. For example, family law, regular civil litigation, that's always going to be going on, and especially now, more people are getting divorced. So That's an option. And my small firm job did pay too. It wasn't, you know, like a huge, you know, paycheck, but it was enough to, you know, not be working for free, which was nice. And, you know, they're a great resource, and a lot of alumni work in small firms, so that's another great way to get in touch with people. And a lot of professors know people who are in that world too. So, yeah.
Do you want to do it?
Okay, so we'll talk now about externships, and that will include the judicial internships. So if you guys haven't already kind of researched it, externships are what you take an internship, and then you take a school seminar to get school credit for it. And the advantage of doing this over the summer is that you can take out loans. So you have to take at least, I think it is 7 credits to get funding for the summer.
That's the max.
Yeah, that's the max. I think minimum is 6, and then max is 7. So it's not really a big difference either way. But you just take a seminar, and the externship seminars are usually going to be worth 3 credits your first time around, because you're required to do the one that is 3 credits, because there's more supervision that way. And then your hours make up the rest. So if you work 40 hours a week, then you're getting 3 credits for that. So you end up with 6 credits, and you get your loan for the summer, which is more than enough to cover your rent and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I did last summer. So in general, externships, you can do it anywhere. Most any agency, government agency, nonprofit, any organization will be more than happy to let you work there and get school credit, because all they have to do is just kind of sign a piece of paper that says, yes, you're doing substantive legal work, and at the end of the summer, they certify it again. So that's usually a really big trade-off for them, because they understand that they're not paying you, so they're going to allow you to get school credit. And again, there's a perk to that too, because you get graded for the 3-credit seminar. So that's 3 credits of a grade, and theoretically you would get a high grade because you're talking about your feelings the whole summer. So, that's a really big perk. And the seminars are usually really small. They're capped anywhere from 12 to 20 people. And you get to hear about other people's jobs, which is a really great way for you to figure out what other jobs are out there. Because we had people that were working at the FBI, the DOJ, Department of State. I was working at the courts. Some people were working at the federal courts. So, again, it's another great way to network, because since we live here, you could do those jobs during the year as well. So if you missed out on it for the summer, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get another chance to work there. And then speaking of judicial internships, there's a ton of them, and OCPD has a special section for it. So if you go on CareerLink and you sort it by, you know, I'm a 1L, I want summer full-time and judicial, there'll be a lot there. And then also in the docket, they advertise them. But another easy way is just to look at like DC Superior Court or the Court of Federal Claims and look up the judges and see if you have any common background with any of them or anything like that, and just apply directly. Most of them are starting to interview now for the summer, so this would be the best time to do it. Because they're kind of finishing up with their spring hiring as well. So it's a really great experience. If you're at DC Superior Court, that's the trial court here. So I was in a chambers that didn't have a regular trial calendar, but I got to go around to all the cases, because since you have the inside track on what cases are being heard and all that kind of stuff, the judge will say, oh, there's a really, you know, high profile criminal case, why don't you go over there and just watch it for the day. So I could spend whole days just watching trials and learning about closings and all that kind of stuff. And then you also get to meet a lot of the other judges. So it's a really great opportunity. It's unpaid, but if you take it as an externship, it's a good benefit. And I met a lot of people that way.
Okay. Charlie, you want to talk about the study abroad?
Yeah.
You're dying.
When I can talk here, yeah. Study abroad was awesome. It's a great way, obviously, to get some, I'm not going to say easy credits, because you still do the same amount of work, but it's a great way to get out of here, do something else. I remember my dean's fellow last year told us at this panel, like, you know, I really wish I had, she was a 3L, she said, I really wish I had gone abroad after my first year. And this was really like the last opportunity, last summer you have to just kind of like you know, like, be free and, like, kind of hang out and have fun before, you know, because she knew she wanted to go to a firm, and so she had the rest of law school planned out, and so she was like, I really missed this opportunity. So I started to, like, internalize that, and obviously, as you guys know, I went to Egypt with another school, but, I mean, it's a great way. It's not as serious as a regular semester here, you know, big surprise, but the disadvantage, I guess, is that you're compressing an entire semester into 4 weeks of class, and then you're taking finals in that fifth week. Or our programs here are 4 weeks, so it's basically like 3 weeks of class for an entire semester. So you're in class like, you know, 3-4 hours a day, and then finals are coming up quickly. But I mean, you can definitely do it. It's like I said, it really doesn't have the same feel as a regular law school semester. So if you're looking to get like 6 credits or 4 credits or something like that, that's a great resource to have in your back pocket going into second year, because you don't have to take a full course, though. You can always take 12 or 13 credits or something like that and you know, not feel overly stressed. You guys probably know that we have a whole bunch of study abroad programs, Europe, we have the comparative law program, Hague, Turkey, Chile. Those are all great. I have a lot of friends who did them, each program, and nobody's come back and said, man, that really sucked, or like you kind of just like just missed expectations. The advantage to going to WCL is twofold. That on a WCL program is that your grades are going to transfer, and so like I said, it's not really like a super difficult semester, so grades tend to be a little higher, I think. I think that's the reputation anyway. So potentially, I mean, if you work hard, you don't totally blow off the entire summer, you can potentially boost your GPA. And it's a 4-week program, all of ours. So you can come back and intern or extern or work at a job or something like that, and you know, get a little legal experience. My program was 6 weeks, right in the middle of the summer, so I had 3 weeks at the beginning and 3 weeks at the end. So I was kind of handcuffed. There's no way I could work, which I didn't really mind so much, because after finals last spring, I was like, you know what, I don't even want to think about anything. I just want to go abroad, you know, see something new. Don't underestimate the cultural aspect. I came here thinking that I wanted to move to the Middle East after graduation and work there for a few years. I went there and was like, this is cool, this is great, but, you know, the Middle East for a white guy who's not a Muslim is not quite the same place as I thought it was going to be, and it's a great place to visit. I'll go back, but I don't think I want to live here forever. So, you know, it's kind of like a little like professional growth. You realize things that maybe you didn't think of, but while you're sitting here in the States, you know, you sort of like shapes your career options a little bit. The disadvantage to going with a school that's not WCL is that your grades don't transfer. So, you know, while I did really well abroad, you know, no one's going to see that. So that can be good, because you're not going to totally bust your ass to study as hard, because you're like, it doesn't really count, as long as I, you know, don't get C's, it's okay, whatever. But keep that in mind. I think when I was looking for programs, I knew I wanted to go to the Middle East. There's only one ABA accredited program in the Middle East, and that's through Seton Hall. So I didn't really have a choice, as far as I was concerned. I think I looked and I found that out on LSAC.org, I think it's where it's from. I'm going to be a huge dork and tell you that I get the ABA Student Lawyer magazine, and this is the study abroad thing, so they have like a whole list of programs. There's a whole bunch in Africa, interesting. Well, not a whole bunch, but there's a few more in Africa, interestingly, and throughout the rest of the world. So if you're just basically looking like me to go somewhere, try something else new, you can take a look at this or go to LSAC or whatever, but definitely think about it. Don't just, yeah, think about it.
On a side note, it's not, you don't have to choose between doing like a substantive legal job or going abroad. A lot of my friends, if you know, and all our programs here are pretty much first come, first serve. There's no like screening process like, oh, we're going to take a student with this background and then complement it with a student from another background. So if you apply on time and you know you're getting in, you can look ahead and find jobs abroad through nonprofits. Like students who went to The Hague ended up staying and working for some of their like component offices and that kind of thing. I have friends who did the comparative law program and found jobs in London that they worked at until the end of the summer. So you come back having been abroad, but you still have a substantive legal experience. And since today's legal market is a lot more global than it used to be, it's not going to be looked upon as less than if you were here in the States. So you don't necessarily have to pick, you know, a job or going abroad. You can do both.
That's a great point. I probably should have mentioned this. A lot of my friends who went abroad with me to Egypt, and some people who went to Chile also had jobs while they were there, and a lot of their jobs just didn't meet expectations. The jobs that people were supposed to be set up with in Egypt just kind of fell flat, and they just were not what people wanted to do. So the lesson there is to push harder if you're going to be working in another country, because expectations are often quite different than American expectations. And so while, you know, they might just have a need for somebody to do some kind of like basic office work and then some legal work, and you're expecting to actually do something substantive, you need to find that out ahead of time. So you just have to push harder.
Okay. Another option for the summer is being a Dean's Fellow. And if you haven't figured already, being a Dean's Fellow just means basically you're being paid by the school. So that's just a blanket term for a lot of different positions. So there's a lot of people who hire at the school for Dean's Fellow positions, including the clinical programs, which is a fantastic way to gain hands-on experience on cases, because a lot of people won't be able to do clinics until their third year of law school just because of how popular it is. But being a Dean's Fellow for a clinic is a great way to see the kinds of cases that they get. And you're basically taking on the job of a student attorney, which means calling clients, setting up meetings, writing memorandums, writing briefs. So that's a great way to be at school, get paid, and to get exposure to the clinical program and the professors who work in the clinical program as well. Many professors hire Dean's Fellows over the summer. You'll start seeing these advertised at the end of the docket. There will be a section called In Search Of, and professors will just list, you know, if they want a Dean's Fellows, help them write a book, to help research the syllabi for their class, do research on cases. A lot of professors publish papers over the summer and need Dean's Fellows to do research with that. And so that's a great way to build a relationship with a professor, because they can serve as a reference for the future of, you know, I worked one-on-one with the student. Not only did they get a good grade in my class, but, you know, I also saw their work ethic and stuff like that. So that's a huge advantage of being a Dean's Fellow for a professor. And usually professors, you know, allow you to have more flexible hours. So this is something you might do in conjunction with something else. You might be working 20 hours, but professors will say, you know, do it on your own schedule. You know, as long as you get the work done, that's fine. It varies from professor to professor, but it's a nice flexible job option that pays. And also, working for a professor, you can seek out the professors that are in the fields of law that you're interested in. For example, you know, there'll be the listing of the professors that want Dean's Fellows, but if you have a certain professor that you really love, or if, you know, there's a professor that does, you know, international arbitration and that's your passion, you can go approach these professors and ask, will you be hiring a summer Dean's Fellow or a Dean's Fellow during the year? And that's a great opportunity. I know Jamie, who's not here right now, you know, is working with one of the professors that she had first year, and she, you know, had a great experience doing that. And then finally for Dean's Fellows, a lot of the programs here, you'll notice that we have tons of different programs, like the law and government program, the international law, the women in the law clinic, or the women in the law program. Those also all hire Dean's Fellows. And, you know, just building the relationships in them, these programs, because these programs are often connected to practitioners. They always hold social networking events, you know, so that's a great way to get an in. And so a lot of these positions will be advertised later in the semester. So if you want to, you know, cast your blanket out and do, you know, apply to a lot of judicial internships or other externships and aren't finding as much success, you know, don't forget about this option too, because a lot of professors won't be thinking about the people they want to hire until, you know, the mid to end of the semester. So don't feel frustrated if the job search is, you know, being difficult at first, because there's a lot of things that are spread out, a lot of options that are spread out through the year.
Does anyone else want to talk about summer school?
Okay. And finally, summer school is, you know, a great way to gain credits. You can take summer school and you can work, or you can just do summer school by itself. You don't have to play with your units, but the definite advantages of doing summer school is that you can pair it with something else. You can get credits out of the way. So, you know, whether you're doing summer school, getting credits from summer school or from an externship seminar, can help you graduate early or go part-time later in your law school career. So after my first summer, I did an externship, which I got 6 units for, and now I'm a part-time student paying half the tuition. So if you're concerned about money and thinking, oh, if I have to pay for summer school, I'm taking out another loan, you can just, you know, plan for it accordingly and know that, you know, if you go part-time during your third year, you're paying half as much tuition. So it all kind of balances out. And so there's no, I wouldn't say there's really a bad option. So, and summer school is also another way to help boost your GPA, because a lot of times by only taking one class, you'll be able to devote a lot more time to that. So if you didn't do as well as you liked your first year, summer school might be a great way to, you know, help boost your GPA before you go into your second year and start applying for more jobs later on. And also, a lot of classes your second and third year are hard to get into. There's popular professors, or there's classes that you might just want to get out of the way. And, like, for example, everyone has to take legal ethics, and they offer legal ethics over the summer with the most popular professorship. So that's a great way to just do 2 easy units over the summer, get that out of the way, not have to worry about that during the school year. And so if you're around D.C., summer school might be a good option as well. And I'd say overall, with the summer job thing, a lot of people freak out about it a lot more than they should. And there, you know, as long as you're doing something, that's all that matters, you know. Anyone else want to add to that?
I think taking summer classes here is probably a great transition for your second and third years, where you realize that you can't get into a lot of day classes, and so you end up becoming a de facto night student. And so if you're working during the day and you're taking summer night classes, it's kind of a transition to the rest of law school. That's just my cynical point of view, but it does happen.
On Christina's point about as long as you're doing something, she's really completely right. When I moved here, I actually did a little bit of networking and spoke to one of the alums here that works at Skadden in D.C., and he was just talking to me, and he was like, you know what, you really don't even need to worry about it. We all understand that as a 1L, it's really hard for you to get, like, this impressive legal job. So short of you just, like, going home for the summer and working at the mall, like, you'll be fine. So, I mean, that was comforting to me because, you know, as long as you guys all try, there's a lot of jobs out there. Like, obviously, all the government agencies, and don't forget that right now, because of the change in administration and also because of all the economic disaster that we're living through, there's a lot more jobs. There's a lot more agencies that are going to need more interns to do a lot of research. So if you just put your feelers out there, you know, don't discriminate too much between paid and unpaid, because we've given you a lot of ways to get funding and that kind of thing. So you can make it work, and, you know, as he said, just don't just go home and, like, lay by the beach. I'm from California. It was a really tempting option. So as long as you don't do that, you're going to be fine. So don't stress out too much about it. The most important thing is to make sure that you're focusing on your classes and you do well there.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people place so much emphasis on their first summer, like, oh, I want to get this dream job that will lead to my job after that, which will lead to my job after summer or after I graduate. And that's just not how it happens ever. Everyone after their first year of law school pretty much looks alike, because you're only submitting one semester of grades. So, you know, it can be a somewhat arbitrary process. But there's so many different options that you can explore and get legal experience, and you might actually find something that you like, or you might be doing a job that you thought you would like that you end up not liking too. So it's a great way to experiment, because it's just one summer and you'll have so many different opportunities during the school year to do these type of jobs too, when the market's far less competitive, because DC students are pretty much the only ones applying to the job, whereas during the summer everyone from the United States wants to come to Washington, D.C. So Charlie's going to talk about some tips for the job search.
How many people went to Opportunities Day yesterday? All right. So this section's kind of going to catch a lot of the points we've already made. So I'm not going to belabor. I'm going to highlight a few things here. As you know, obviously yesterday, you can go to Career Services, Externship Office. We've obviously dedicated resources to this. Avis Sanders in Externship Office is awesome. She tried to help me find a job in Egypt, and like within 5 minutes of meeting with her, she sent out like a blast email to like a whole bunch of people in the school asking if anyone could help me. That ended up falling through, but point is that, like, within 5 minutes, the point is within 5 minutes. Well, Egypt's a really hard place to work in, you know, third world country. The whole, like, efficiency thing just was kind of lost on them. So that was really difficult and frustrating. But the point is that she, within 5 minutes, I sent out an email and was, like, got invested in my concern. So that was awesome. The big deal for second year is going to be, if many of you is fall recruiting. So obviously you're going to be on CareerLink a lot, so you probably know about that at this point. I guess what I would like to highlight is, I don't know if you guys stuck around for Kim Walton's talk. I remember that from last year. Basically just show some initiative. Like we were saying about first year law students all look alike. Each year of law school is sort of like, you're sort of following this little track. Like first year is all about grades and then doing something substantive at the end of the year. Second year is like journal and trying to get like a full-time job. So that's a very passive way to go through school. Like every year is sort of planned out for you. But if you're interested in doing something maybe a little bit different, as opposed to just coming here in the fall after you've done some kind of substantive work, you know, you start now. Start being taking some initiative. Pass out your resume at alumni events. My school has a small alumni club here, but we're pretty loyal, so that's part of my strategy for the summer and going forward. People are always more interested in finding out why you're interested, that you're taking the initiative, that you're, you know, being polite, that you're following up after you give your resume out. The school is going to host a lot of these events at night, a lot of like cocktail receptions, the school doesn't host cocktail receptions, but we'll bring in employers. I don't know that it's necessarily a cattle call, but there's a lot of people handing out resumes and business cards and things like that. And so stand out. Like, don't just be the passive person who puts on a suit and goes. You want to stand out for some reason. You want to know something about the person who's on the other end of the handshake. And so you guys already know about the resources out there, but just, I guess, don't be the average law student who just kind of passively goes through it. If you know what you want to do, and you're passionate about something, and that's why you're here, great, then you should have no problem being really personable with somebody, you know, taking the initiative, emailing somebody out of the blue, you know, at an organization you want to work at, and really taking responsibility, taking ownership of the whole process. Like Lindsay was saying, if you end up getting a non-paying job, and that's really going to be a burden, there's the EJF grants, and there's also other sources of funding, other grants and things like that. You might consider doing like a, I don't know, one of those like writing scholarships that they post in the bulletin boards. I don't know, but there's money out there to be had. If you guys have any more like direct questions, you can certainly ask me about it. But I don't want to belabor the point on this that you guys sat through yesterday.
I also really want to add that your professors are a wonderful resource, and a lot of them feel like first years don't take advantage of them as much as they wish they could, because they really want to help people get jobs. And all the professors at the school usually worked before they came to law school, or before they became professors, which is, actually unusual for a lot of law schools. But that also means that they have tons of connections. They have, places that they worked at before. If you're interested in becoming a public defender and you're not talking to Angela Davis or Cynthia Jones, then you're really missing out, because they were the directors of the program, and so they know all the people who are still working there. And so a lot of the professors, will help you, kind of get ideas of what different things you can do, or point you in the right direction, or email their friend, just because they know so many people. And the reason why they became professors is because they like helping students. So just go to their office hours. Even if you don't have a professor, you can just send them an email. And, like, I looked at your biography on the WCL webpage, and I really was interested in how you got this job or what your experience was like here. They'll be happy to sit down. So definitely don't miss out on talking to professors.
On that note, also remember, like Charlie said, if you kind of have an idea of what you want to do, think outside the box. Like, don't forget that your parents have friends who do work. Your boyfriend's dad has a fantasy football league that has, attorneys or people in it. If you're interested in business, don't think that you just have to go work for a firm. You could go do, like, a business analyst position for the summer. Like, these are ways for you to stand out come fall recruiting time, because as much as it sounds great that you might get a 1L intern or a 1L summer associateship, you're one of the few, in the end, you're still going to look like everybody else come fall recruiting. But if you're really interested in going to corporate and you come in and you've worked at, you know, like, I don't know, Citigroup, Smith Barney for the summer as a financial analyst, that'll make you look a little different. If you're interested in going the public defender route, don't be afraid to go back home and live there for the summer and work for the local public defender there or that kind of stuff. So don't limit yourself to, like, this school and just what other people are talking about. Like, reach out to your friends who are working in other sectors and ask them. Like, I had friends who pointed me towards a lot of, you know, corporate business jobs in other places. So just remember that there's a lot more out there you can do. Don't, like Charlie said, don't just stick to this, like, supposed path that, like, every successful lawyer goes through, because that's really not how it works.
A great way to reach out to your professors, like Christina was saying, is just to go to lunch with them. Last spring, I went to lunch with Andy Pike, who taught me contracts, and he's awesome. He's, like Christina was saying, they really want to help. And that's a perfect example of, like, what Pike is trying to do. He just wants people to be successful, and he wants to help you. So he took me to lunch, and I was, he's like, you know, what's going on for the summer? I laid out a few options. I told him that I really wanted to get this job at GE, at their in their legal department. And, like, right off the top of his head, he was just like, call this guy. And as it turns out, like, you know, the guy no longer worked in the same division, but, like, he was still a useful contact. Like, I mean, It's Friday. Can you cut me some slack here?
Charlie, just stop.
So the point is, like, you know, the guy exists. He had changed divisions, and Pike didn't know that. But the point is, over, like, a 20-minute lunch, the guy was willing to be like, I went to school with this guy. He's a buddy of mine. We still keep in contact. For some reason, I guess he didn't know he had changed divisions. Anyway, easy to do. It's Friday, all right?
That also reminds me, like I said, when I came here right before my first year, I looked at a bunch of firms that I knew I wanted to work at, and you can search all those firms and find WCL alums, and then some even allow you to see what law school they went to and what undergrad they went to. And I reached out to this one guy who's actually, like, a senior associate. He met me for coffee after one email, and I still talk to him, like, on a weekly basis now. Like, he's the one that checks in with me to say, did you get a job yet? How's it going? And this was really pivotal during fall recruiting, because obviously fall recruiting sucks. And he was willing, I mean, you know, sorry, it's the truth. But he was willing to give me tips and, like, okay, since the economy, like, died, here's other ways for you to get a job, and all that kind of stuff. But also throughout the year, he was really helpful in telling me what kind of activities were useful, what kind of activities are not. So this is a good example. Like, I know I want to go towards the corporate route in the future, so it's useful for me to hear it from him. If you want to work for the DC, you know, public defender, go ahead and look up those alums. And the thing he said that was really encouraging was that not enough people reach out to WCL alums. Since our school is so much smaller than the other law schools that are, well, you know, better known, I guess you could say, like, they're really protective of their students and their futures. And so he really wants to do everything he can to get me those jobs, you know. So just do that. Don't be afraid to send out just an introductory email. The worst that could happen is they don't respond. So,
yeah, I mean, WCLers, a lot of them stay in DC and really like, you know, continuing the tradition on. For example, there's a few judges, I think Judge Bolton, you know, who's a very prestigious judge, loves hiring WCL students. So just check out the alumni network. I know coming from my undergrad, it wasn't as strong, so I was surprised to see how, you know, much they care here, whether it's giving you a job or just giving advice.
Okay, so moving on to your spring activities and what your options are, we'll just run through this pretty quickly. Journals and briefs are the obvious one that I'm sure you guys have heard a lot about, especially now that it's spring. The difference between journals and briefs are smaller and they're more condensed. So we have, you know, business law brief, criminal law brief. They're just very discrete topics, whereas the journals are the official publications of WCL, and you guys know what all they are. But the biggest thing you need to keep in mind is write-on. Write-on is the 2 weeks, the 1 week right before spring break and then through spring break. So if you know that you're set on doing write-on, then you either should consider canceling your spring break dreams or, like, dedicating... Sorry, it's the truth. I didn't go anywhere. But canceling that or, you know, some of my friends did just do it the week before and then left. But you have to be willing to just finish it and then go, because if it's just going to hang over your head, that's just going to ruin your spring break. But you should look at the calendar now. Spring break is like March, I think, 7th through the 14th or something like that. So mark that down and just be aware and watch for the meetings, because I think the meeting is mandatory. So if you don't go to that, you can't even compete. So, and then in terms of clinic, they'll be having clinic information sessions probably in March and April. And some second years can get into clinic. I have friends who are doing clinic right now. So you just need to keep out for that information session, and, you know, it's just an application process. If they do make priority for 3Ls, but if there are 2Ls who are interested and there's space, then, of course, you can do it. And it's a great experience. There are some clinics that are only one semester long, so you should research and figure out what clinic you'd really like to be interested in working for.
Isn't clinic a lottery for 2Ls?
Yes, but a lot of 2Ls last year just didn't apply because they didn't think there was space. So all the 2Ls I know that applied ended up getting in. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of doing your research. And like Christina said, you really need to figure out now what you want to commit yourself to while you're here. Like, really think about it. Don't just, these aren't just activities that you kind of sign up for and then kind of go by the wayside. They're all really big commitments. And then moot court and mock trial. Moot court and mock trial, their spring competitions are coming up, as you can see on the calendar. The first competitions are like the 1L closing competition, and then I think moot court also has just an introductory competition as well. You can do both of those. Both of those require like money to enter, and I think, did they already close? I'm not sure if they closed out okay, I guess they did. So for those are really good chances, because this is the only time you can do both. Come February, when you have to do the official tryouts, you must pick one team only. They don't let you try out for both. So this is a good chance for you to kind of feel it out. You know, the big difference is that moot court is appellate, so for every competition, you're making a brief. So if that's not your thing, then you probably want to think twice about doing that. And mock trial closing competition is a really good chance for you to see if you're comfortable speaking in front of people and kind of having people stare at you while you do these arguments. But they are both, that is the biggest difference. But they're both heavy commitments, so really think about it, because even as a 2L, it's your first semester on the team, you can take on board positions. And even if you're just competing, these are heavy practices. They practice 3 to 4 times a week up until their competition. So you should think about this. And then, let's see, oh, Marshall Brennan. I do Marshall Brennan. It's a really great program, but again, it's a big commitment. You teach 3 times a week, and it can be anywhere in the morning or in the afternoon, and then we take a seminar every week. So, in case you're, sorry, I forgot to say, Marshall Brennan is where we teach constitutional law at local area high schools, so you either do it in D.C. or Maryland, and you get credit for it. It's a 3-credit seminar. And then, of course, you have the teaching experience. It's a really great experience to kind of get out in the community and do something through the law school that's not just all about books and studying and that kind of thing. And you get to interact with these high school students, which kind of puts everything in perspective, especially when you're trying to teach them about their rights and that kind of thing. And then you also coach them for their own moot court competition, which is really awesome. Because when they get up there and you have these 17-year-olds who are doing legal arguments about the First Amendment, and you help them do that, it's a really, you know, rewarding experience. Dean Swell's... Yeah, my story's a little happier than Charlie's. Dean's Fellow positions, you know, we're Dean's Fellows. There's Dean's Fellows for the Legal Rhetoric Program. And then, as Christina talked about before, pretty much any teacher or program in the school has Dean's Fellows. So, again, you're getting paid by the school, and you're doing just weekly work for the different programs. So you should kind of just read the docket, and each in search of will kind of tell you what field they're doing and what kind of stuff they expect from you. Student organizations, we just want to remind you that when you sign up for organizations, you know, the Women's Law Organization, EJF, just any of those groups, they all take time, you know, joining the SBA, being a senator. So we're serious when we say you should look at your calendar and think seriously about what you're interested in. You know, each of us has like two or three activities, and you know, we're always busy. So I can't imagine if you were to be like, oh, well, I want to do mock trial, Marshall Brennan, I want to be a Dean's Fellow, and then maybe I'll take some classes too. So just keep in mind your focus here is to do well in school. So don't overload yourself.
And that is what I'm going to talk about, overloading yourself. I took my stuff.
I'm sorry.
You guys, I just want to talk a little bit about being really serious about what she's saying. Don't try to do 10 activities because you will not do them all well. I have a lot of experience with this. Fall semester, you may have seen me looking like I haven't slept in a week, and that was probably true. So be really careful. Journal and stuff is great, but those will have like really busy weeks, or if you're writing your comment either over the summer or over the fall semester, it's just a really intense process, and so you're going to be here a lot. So just kind of be aware of that. Fall semester second year is really crazy, so whatever you commit yourself to now is going to kind of tidal wave in the fall. So be careful with yourselves, with your mental, you know, I don't know, capacity to, you know, do a million things. It's going to be a lot more fun next year and easier in terms of like not being scared or not being nervous about classes, but it is really, really busy. I can't emphasize enough, the job search in the fall is really intense, and it's not necessarily something you expect, and it kind of hits you really hard. And with the economy the way it is, it may be different next year too. So just kind of be aware of that. Be aware that that's going to eat up a lot of your time that you may think you're going to have. So just kind of plan accordingly for that. Let's see. If you are working, especially for a professor or any type of supervisory person, make sure they know what else you're committed to. With professors, a lot of times they're really flexible with you. If you're a dean's fellow, you work for 10 hours or something. But don't let all 10 hours pile up for the month so you end up having to do 40 hours in a week to get your stuff done for them. It is a professionalism issue if you're not getting your work done for the professors. I have a lot of friends who have spent long, long nights here because they just couldn't get everything done in a week, and so they push it all to the end. You do have a lot of time. A lot of 2Ls will take on pretty much everything, and then you'll realize that 3Ls don't do anything because they burn out second year. So be careful with that, too. I mean, if there's something you want to do, you can do it either year. It's not like you have to fit, you know, SBA and mock trial and journal and all these other things into one year. You definitely have time to do a couple different things. And then the last thing for this, there is this website on here. Go check that out to figure out how you want to plan your the rest of your class schedules. I didn't do that, and I forgot I had to take legal ethics, so it messed up my schedule this year. So just figure out what you have to do and know where those things are going to come into play so that you don't get your schedule screwed up or have to do something last minute that you didn't expect to have to do.
And also, in terms of overloading, like she said, it's a professional issue. If you're on like 5 different groups and you're only doing 50% for each group, that's going to get around. And these are the people, especially professors, and if you work for any programs, these are the people that you have on your resume, and they're going to get contacted. And you don't want them to say, well, she was really nice, but I think she just had way too much going on, and so we didn't see her as much as we needed her, or things like that. So you really should pick, because if you do really well in one or two organizations, and you know, let's say you choose journal and mock trial, and you do really well as, you know, on journal, and you do a great comment, and then you also do well at your competition, that's going to speak a lot more than if you have 4 or 5 things that are just on paper and nobody can really speak to your ability on them. So just take time with these.
Yeah. To that end, when you do your resume for fall semester, or I mean for fall recruitment and stuff, you don't want to look like you're crazy and have like 20 things on there. I had to take things off because I had too many activities and these people were going to think I was nuts. So to that end, pick what you're going to put on your resume if you do have too many activities, or consider not doing 20 things so that you don't look like you're just overcommitted.
Yeah, with choosing activities, I think it's really important to do research and just how much the time commitment is for different particular things. Like, you know, if you're interested in a journal, go talk to journal people. How busy are you? How many hours a week do you commit? What's your schedule like? You know, if you do mock trial, what are your major competitions? Like, you know, just figuring out what those, you know, how much time each takes, how much people actually like doing these things. Then you can kind of piece it all together. And, you know, we'd be happy if you came to our office hours and your saying, I'm thinking of doing this, this, and this. Am I crazy? You know, we'll be there to hopefully be a level head and be like, that's way too much time because, you know, all the things that you're thinking of doing are really fall busy and you won't have a life during fall and you won't be able to focus on your grades. Or we'll say, oh, that looks like a really good balance of like your professional interests and your personal interests. So, you know, it's totally worth like doing some research, just trying to talk to people in the programs, talk to students. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed my clinical experience. I know other people in other clinics who hated it and thought it took over their life. You know, so those are things you want to look into before you make those commitments, because pretty much once you apply and get into certain things, you're expected to accept them. So it's worth looking into things before you apply. And I know it sounds daunting now, but it's really worth it. And Charlie can talk about, you know, how to choose activities that are right for you.
On that note, though, sorry, just the accepting part, if you've committed to something, commit to it. Like, think about it heavily beforehand, because it's a huge, 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 like, black mark on your record if you've accepted into a program and then later just turn around and say, oh, sorry, I think I'm just too busy, I can't do it. That's going to reflect very, very poorly. And this school and Washington, D.C. is an extremely small world, so people are going to hear about these things. You might think that we're overreacting, but it's really true. Like, I'll meet somebody, and then later on I'll go back to my program, and somehow I'll hear about how, you know, they either did a great job here or didn't do a great job here, or, you know, flaked on this responsibility. So that's why we're really emphasizing being cautious.
From doom and gloom to cynicism. When we were dividing up this panel, I jumped on the how do I choose which activities are right for me, because I have some feelings about this I think are a little bit different than, or a little bit more honest than a lot of other law students. Everybody does journal in the spring, it seems like. And there's like a really small minority of people who are like, yeah, not interested, don't really want to do it. And that was me. Like, I think journal, mock trial, moot court, they're all means to an end. They're all great if you want to do the fall recruiting, the sort of like big law firm job, these are all means to an end, and, you know, you should probably do them. If you're not quite sure that's what you want to do, then, you know, maybe not. Maybe think a little harder about doing journal, because, like we were saying, like it ruins your spring break. And so, you know, we're trying to say, you know, well, think about the next 2 years, you know, doom and gloom, commit to things, you know, be really serious. But it's true. And there are a lot of people here who do all these activities. And I can think of a lot of people, nobody on this panel, but a lot of people who are just not happy doing it. You know, and like people who have said, like, well, you know, I was working at a job or something, or I was talking to a friend who's a lawyer, and, you know, the running joke is like, why does everyone do law journal? Like, nobody likes it. It's not fun. Nobody, like, thinks it's, like, a great experience, but it's a means to an end, and it's like that certification. It's like that signal on your resume. Yes, I'm willing to accept the commitment. I can handle the commitment. I can do good work. You should hire me. And so it's a means to an end, but that doesn't mean that there are not other means to an end. You heard about that at Opportunities Day. You heard about thinking outside the box. So for those people who are sort of like not really sure that you want to do that, think about other non-legal jobs. Booz Allen hired me in the fall to do totally non-legal research, but I mean, they were really excited to see a law student because they'd never really seen them for this position. So, I mean, that's a great experience. It's Booz Allen. It's on your resume, but like you're not necessarily just like shuffling through being like, God, journal, I have to do like a spading assignment. This is awesome. I'm here all night. You can do it, and like you see all these 2Ls who do it, but then kind of like think about, well, the 3Ls don't do it. There must be a reason why. They're all, you know, 2Ls are putting it on the resume. They're sort of checking the box, and they're moving on. Clinic, I think, is a little bit less like that because you're getting some experience, and so people see the practical value of it. But, you know, just think about it. Maybe don't be the passive, like, I'm going to go do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to do a journal mock trial, then I'm going to do file recruiting. If you're a person who's confident that you know what you want to do, absolutely go in that direction, go hard in that direction, but you should be confident enough that you know this is what you want to do, that you should be able to branch out, do something fun. I mean, to the extent that law school is fun, there are classes that are interesting. In something, if you want to do human rights, take a patent class or something. Take something that's really outside the mainstream for you and sort of broaden your horizons, because like we keep coming back to in this economy, you know, you might not be able to do that human rights job right away. And so it's great to have a flexibility. It's always great to have a broad breadth of knowledge. you know, like it says in the last two bullets here, you're in D.C. There are a lot of options out there. Don't be afraid to scour like an obscure activity like a Craigslist or something, because those, I mean, jobs are posted there as well, and you know they're not like the traditional ones, but people are still hiring, and so you know, just what motivates you, what animates you, what brings you to school every day. I know, I'm sure during finals, a lot of people were questioning why the hell they were here, but you know, you came here for a reason, and you should find that, and you should follow that. You shouldn't totally be doing events just for the sake of doing them. And if anyone wants to hear more cynical commentary, I'll plug office hours as well. Good plug there. We're definitely here to talk to you more one-on-one, and it's not this awkward, like, 40 of you looking at us. We can give you some more advice.
I'll just end on a happier note, which is, you know, these jobs and activities, they aren't just necessarily things that you put down on your resume. They're actually really valuable learning experiences, and a lot of them can be positive if you don't overwhelm yourself. Like, I tried not to do a lot my second year, and it was, like, the hardest thing for me to cut things out of my schedule, but I was so happy that I did it, and I actually enjoyed my journal experience, so.
I didn't say everybody hated it, but I just,
there are people like me who actually enjoy it. So definitely talk to a variety of people, because everyone's going to be different in what their preferences are. But, you know, these are fabulous, like, almost every activity has a worthwhile aspect, so just find the ones that you like. And, you know, they'll fit yourself into your career path, so don't worry about what everyone else is doing.
Being an integrated curriculum dean's fellow is the best job here. It is.
And feel free to, on that note, feel free to take leftover food, and we'll be up here for questions, too.
Thank you.